Well, Ken, we find ourselves recording Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 157 today. What says you?
Well. We are recording today, Kevin. Another Wednesday record. Things have been a little crazy, I gotta say. I haven't been able to record in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I have done my best to try to fill the void with regular Stunt Granny shows, but yeah, I've had my own challenges, not as big as yours by any means.
Yeah, it have been health things, and then work has been kind of crazy too, but it's all good. We're coming back at you here on another Wednesday. Yeah, I think everything is going to be okay in the end. So yeah, it's halfway through the week, Kevin.
Yeah, we're at Hump Day. We're really almost done with Hump Day.
Yeah.
So this is really whipped cream and cherry on top of our Hump Day.
On top of the humping, yes.
Yeah, this is the hump of the hump day. If
Yeah.
only we can get through this, a podcast that we decide to do for unknown reasons.
Yeah. It's not really a chore, Kevin.
No, it is not. It is very easy to record this.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that.
And it is always easy to record, Ken, when we have breaking Pittsburgh Steelers news. I cannot believe that I needed to bring it to your attention. There was a 6 second video clip of one Benjamin Roethlisberger throwing a pass, not a strong pass by any means, but a pass nonetheless. That's been one of those weirder things that, for whatever reason, they've really had to deny that he's like they said, oh, he's going to be back next year. And then it got out there that he wasn't going to be back. And like they keep on having to prove that he's going to be back. And it's kind of weird to me. Like, I guess I was pumped to see him throw. I'll admit, because I kind of forgot that he has not lost a whole lot of games when the defense doesn't give up 21 points, which the Steelers defense did a lot this past year.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit. Like, would if he had been healthy, though, would they have kind of been more aggressive on defense and going, trading for Minka Fitzpatrick? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
It's a weird kind of butterfly effect thing, It's you
yeah.
change one thing, it could have ripples.
But now they're going to have that defense, though. I
Yeah.
mean, if they did pull that trigger because of the injury, all the better, because honestly, they didn't need to do much more than be competent offensively last year, and they would have won
That
more.
was at times a struggle last year.
Yeah. Like, I mean, with the way that I still feel like the offensive line wasn't great. So, I mean, I don't think Roethlisberger would have solved all of the problems. And I still think that there's a little bit of a running back issue.
Yeah, I don't think they have like a world-beating running back, but those seem to be few and far between.
Yeah, but they could still use something better there. And I know that they did hire Ike Hilliard as their new receiver coach, who was just recently a receiver in the NFL himself, fairly recently at least, because I remember him playing. But if Roethlisberger comes back, yeah, like and they should at least be competent offensively with him back in there.
I would
Like,
hope
I'm
so.
not expecting the offense of Roethlisberger with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown all kind of hitting their stride all at the same time. I mean, that would be obvious lunacy to think it's going to get to that point this coming year.
Feel like they have some decent receivers, though.
Yeah.
They were kind of let down by some of the errant passes that were thrown.
Yeah, because neither Duck nor Mason really could nail things down. I do think that there was some progression from Mason more than Duck, from what I could tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's still taking a seat if Roethlisberger's healthy.
Now, let me pose a question to you. If, let's say that, you know, as the Steelers would have us believe, Roethlisberger is coming back next year, do you think there is any chance that he might want to restructure his contract? Because the Steelers are looking at kind of a bad salary cap situation, from what I understand. Would he take a pay cut, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, it's always kind of funny. Like, the Steelers are very big at restructuring deals. Like, they sign... Because that's it. Those NFL contracts are almost worthless.
Well, they can be, yeah.
A, you know, they can be voided at any time. But they don't say... Like, I feel like it's almost an underreported thing or something that not everyone pays attention to. That you can restructure the deal and, like, they give... And, I mean, that's kind of the funny thing is the Steelers don't want to give you a lot of money up front. To me, it would seem, as a general rule, which is why they kind of lost Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, or at least their initial statements in public, I would say, were of that nature.
That seemed to be their gripe, yeah.
Yeah, but the Steelers do a lot of deal restructuring, and the only way to shave money off the salary cap in that situation is to give them money up front then. And I feel like they do that to at least a handful, or maybe slightly less than a handful, like 2 to 5 people, I would say, every year to get them under the salary cap. And just because Roethlisberger is the highest paid guy, I feel like he's on that list a lot. So, like, his contract is being paid out different. You know, if nothing else, even if the money's all even, it's not paying out the way that the contract was laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Either, like, just because it does get restructured. And I feel like Marquise Pouncey at times has restructured. Like, I feel like the offensive linemen restructure on a somewhat regular basis too, and maybe that's why it doesn't get a lot of attention, is because it's the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
and not one of the diva positions.
I guess I was thinking of, like, almost a mirror image of Tom Brady's career, where it, you know, somewhat famously, I would say Tom Brady has taken a lesser salary than he probably could command at another team in order to keep talent around to be able to, you know, pay other players. The theory this year is that he may be moving to another team in order to kind of get a bigger payday before he retires. And this could be an interesting inversion of that, to see, you know, Roethlisberger finally take a pay cut in order to kind of help out the team right before he retires, in order to maybe boost his chance to get, you know, a Super Bowl win.
Yeah, I would think, because, I mean, he just signed, I'm trying to think of when that extension runs through without looking it up. And I can't recall offhand how long his contract is, but he recently did sign an extension. I want to say it was at least through 2023, because I think him and Tomlin have concurrent contracts currently.
Okay.
Not that obviously they're a package deal, but I believe that they do... their contracts end at the same time currently.
So, yeah, I think it sounds like 2022, because it was in...
okay.
It was this past year that they signed a 3-year contract with Roethlisberger.
Okay. So, yeah.
If they could, you know,
Yeah, I don't think... There might be a restructuring, which is a change of salary. It might shave some money off of the salary cap.
Yeah.
I am not a capologist, so I'm not going to profess to really know the numbers involved with that. Because there's still some weird shit that goes on with that. Because your salary isn't even really what counts against the cap. Sometimes it, you know, there's the signing bonus factors in there in right. some way.
And so part of that could be they're already tied to pay, you know, against their salary cap just from what they've already, you know, paid him in signing bonus, say. They can't really restructure that, I don't think. Since yeah. it's already money out the door, they have to. They don't pay that in the cap all at once. They split it out over the length of the contract. So that would, if he was still under contract, I would think, unless and if they redid his contract, well, I don't know. Like I said, we're not
capologists
here.
And I've got to admit, like with Roethlisberger, his chances to me of retiring around 40. Which I think he'd be 40 in 2022. I think that they're greater than, like, I know that Drew Brees is coming back at age 41, and I believe Brady's 42 mm-hmm. for this coming season. Like, both of them have been relatively unscathed. I mean, I know that Brady had his ACL blown out the 1 year. When Bernard Pollard landed on his leg in game one.
That was a couple years ago, I want to say.
Yeah, that was a while ago at this point, I want to say, like, at least 6 years.
Oh, okay.
Because that's why Matt Cassel got the big contract, because cause that was one of my favorite memes, it was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady talking, and Peyton Manning just turns to him and said, "My team didn't make the playoffs when I was injured. How about yours?" And I think that the Patriots went like 15-1 without Brady or something like that that season.
That's a
That was one of those
savage roast there.
Yeah, it was one of those Tom Brady is a systems quarterback kind of roasts.
I don't know. He's a pretty good quarterback. I'm not going to take that away from him.
No, I thought, I just caught amusement from that one. Mm-hmm. You know, there are definitely differing situations that I would say happened between those two teams.
Yeah, I'd say there's people in my family who will not necessarily even give Tom Brady the credit that he's a good quarterback. The hatred can run pretty deep there, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like my older brother is kind of unreasonable in that way. It's just like, I still hear the Bella cheat stuff, and I'm just like, just stop.
Well.
There's always something weird going on there, but come on. Yeah. Like, most of the stuff at this point has been disproven, though, too. Or at least it didn't, do you really think that if the Inflategate really did happen, that really affected that game that much?
No, but I still love Inflategate. I just, I don't know, that one's probably my favorite one for some reason.
I will admit to be more than happy to watch someone needle a New England fan with these accusations.
I think it's because I knew
my
own
amusement.
It was stupid, but like everybody was like so into it and like reporting on like what, you know,
PSI gauges and everything for footballs.
Right. I thought it was hilarious that they weren't talking about, you know, the New England's, you know, victory. They were discussing all this crap about football inflated, you know, like you said, what temperature, how does temperature affect the PSI of the football? What does it, you know, how does it affect it when Gronk spikes that football? Is that like part of their plan to
deflate the balls? Just have the giant gorilla that plays tight end spike the ball multiple times.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, especially since, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, that game was something of a blowout.
Yeah, I don't think it came down. I'll go on record to say that. I don't
it
think
was it not a one-score game.
Yeah, it didn't come down to the ball being deflated. I'll just say that.
Yeah, so I'm fine with the needling, but for the most part, because I feel like, what was the other big scandal that...
Spygate?
Like
and then there was another version of that that happened more recently.
Well, that one was just stupid. Like, I can't believe that... Like, that one still was so obvious. It's like, how is this not... Huh? But I feel like the NFL actually did something about that one, too.
You know what's blowing my mind? And I don't think we've done it as a topic, but this, like, cheating... The Astros cheating in baseball. Like, how can they not give them any kind of punishment, like those players? That is, like, blowing my mind.
That was one of those ones where the funny thing is they're like, oh, we're getting the big guys, we're getting the manager and the GM, and it's just like the players matter more in that situation. Like, they gave him, like, you should have given immunity to the GM and the manager and roasted the players.
They were the ones who started it, I think, right?
Yeah.
That's just nuts. They're like, oh, they're on different teams now or whatever. But like...
And all of them lost their jobs.
What about like... I don't know. It's just like crazy. Like, Pete Rose is not allowed, you know, to be in the Hall of Fame because he bet on a game. But these guys were cheating in a game.
And
nothing is going to happen to them.
Yeah, their championship wasn't taken away.
No.
you know, not nothing. And I do like how everyone's like, your apology sucked. Like, pretty much everyone universally was like, oh man, these apologies suck. Fuck these Astros. Like, if you at least would have sounded sincere, we would have gone for this as a redemption story or something, but fuck you guys.
No, I don't know who's going to go to the Astros games this year, because it seems like the entire nation has basically agreed to hate the Astros. I was going to put an article up about this Little League league, right? Where they decided they're not going to have an Astros themed team this year.
Oh, that's hilarious. I mean, you probably will never have enough teams to represent every MLB team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've ever been involved or seen a league that has 32 teams in it. So, I mean, it is easy to skip Astros, but, you know, it is kind of funny that someone's like, hey, I'm just going to make sure that this is official. We're not putting the Astros in.
I think there was they were saying that it would actually be harder to find those. So it sounds like this is common or somewhat common practice for Little League teams this year to not be ordering Astros uniforms. Gear. Yeah. Yeah, it's... pretty it's quite something.
That whole thing is really weird. Like, if those got if because like Jose Altuve is like the big kind of superstar there, and he had a monster year that year, and supposedly he was a guy that didn't want to have the signals stolen, and then he'd just go up there and do it himself. And everyone's like, yeah, whatever. Like, you can actually hear it happening during some of his at-bats. And they're like, oh, every time he came back to the dugout, he was mad about it. And I'm like, well, then why did it keep on happening? Mm. Like, if there are multiple times that this happened and he was mad every time he came back, wouldn't you get the message at some point to stop doing it?
And it seems like part of the key, like, battle, you know, or advantage that the pitcher has when facing a batter is that they don't know what kind of pitch they're going to throw. And they only have, like, a very small, you know, window to try to see what they're throwing. But to know in advance seems like a huge advantage.
Yeah, it is. Like, the fact that they were trying to downplay that, because there is, and I mean, it's not like the batter doesn't have a lot of time to react either. Mm-hmm. But it, again, if you know what pitch is coming, like, it might not come in at the same height that you think it is, but if you know that you have that extra split second because it's going to be some type of off-speed pitch, you know, whether it's a curveball or just a straight changeup, like, if you know mentally that you have that extra half a second or whatever that you need to wait before you swing, that, yeah, that's got to help out, period, end of sentence. Like, you're trying to say that that didn't help out, like, I just call into question whether you know anything about the sport.
Yeah, including the commissioner of baseball.
Oh my God. That is just, I thought Gary Bettman was an idiot for having two lockouts under his watch in the NHL. This one's even worse. Like, I can't believe that someone, a commissioner of of any league anywhere, called the championship trophy a piece of metal. Like, what the fuck?
And
like, that is one where I'm not gonna, you know, get all outraged about it, but seriously, man, like, why, huh?
It's supposed to be, you know, something special, you know, and it is like the whole point of your league, really,
trying
to compete for that thing. It was funny to me reading that article about the Little League commissioner, because he was taking great pains to not, you know, come across as disagreeing with the commissioner's ruling in this case, but he was clearly very unhappy with it, and it's like, you know, I think this is one of those times when, you know, you take a, it's good to take a second look at things and see how things are after a minute and then kind of rethink things. It was like a master class of, you know, gently disagreeing with someone that you're trying to stay on the good side of.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that really, it just should be obvious, you know? Like, I don't care. Like, and it's another one of those things. Say that in your office. Say that anywhere that it's not in public on TV. And why can't you, as that, the Little League commissioner was, just apologize, man. Like, people just, in those positions, just don't seem to be able to go, you know what? I fucked up. It's not a piece of metal. You know, I understand what's going on here.
This is a little off topic, but do you remember Michael Richards when he was in trouble for using the N-word during his comedy routine? You know, Kramer from Seinfeld?
Yes.
Do you recall when he went on David Letterman show, like, right after that, and, like, tried to apologize? Does this ring any bells to you?
Yeah, I don't remember what happened. You will still have to fill me in on that part.
Oh.
Because I don't really remember. Did he drop more N-bombs when he was on there?
Not quite that bad, but it was pretty disastrous. I mean,
okay,
he was on there by, like, remote. And, like, Jerry Seinfeld was the real guest. And apparently he must have, like, pulled some kind of string to, be like, let, you know, him come on to, like, give some apology. Uh-huh. And, like, the audience was thinking it was, like, some kind of a bit, I think. Because, like, they kept, like, laughing while he was talking and, like, trying to apologize.
Oh, my God.
And he was, like, so awkward and weird the whole time. That somebody had brought that up, like, on a podcast, and I watched it. It's on YouTube. It's if you're in the mood for some serious cringing, that's That's a gold mine for you right there. Yes. So I was just thinking, speaking of their unsatisfactory apology, that kind of put me in mind of that.
Yes. Was a little cringy. Yeah, because I read some of the quotes, and I'm just like, really, guys? This is what you're going with? Again, I'm not going to go to a game against the Astros just to boo them. You know, like, it's just not happening. So it's not like I'm really going to, like, get anything out of the situation. But it's like, come on, man. Just man up and say you cheat. Like, you got... Like, and it's like one of those ones where you got caught. Like,
right.
Just like, you know, anyone that takes the steroids these days, they definitely get caught. And I mean, I think the second offense for Major League Baseball is like half a season.
I mean, how pissed would you be if you were another team, you know, in baseball that got screwed over by this? People cheating. I think a lot of athletes are, you know, not just baseball players are mad, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot, like, there's a lot of anger towards the Astros at the current moment. Like, yeah. It's pretty crazy. Because I think I saw something like LeBron had mentioned something about that.
Yeah,
I was
I saw that
like,
too.
Oh my gosh. Like, everyone is getting in on this.
It's like they
yeah, the Astros are definitely a pinata current, a sports pinata currently.
Well, I'm not going to shed too many tears for them. I'm afraid. Although it is strange. I mean, like you said, most of the players I think have moved on.
Well, at least some of them.
Okay.
You know, well, there is one guy that was playing for the team who. That year, but he was a pitcher, so I mean he didn't really benefit from it since he never hit. You know, I mean, you had to be an offensive player to benefit from this scheme. Like, it's not like they were, you can't steal signs from the batter.
There's no one telling him what pitch he's gonna throw. Yeah, that wouldn't really help, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's it's disturbing, and it wasn't even an official topic, Kevin. We're that's a bonus for everybody.
One thing that was related to our first topic.
Oh, it's also a sport, I think.
Yeah, and also a sport.
Yes,
we can head on back to the football.
Oh, yeah.
Ken, because there is football currently on the air.
Yes, Vince McMahon would like us all to head back to football for this February into March. I don't know. I think they finish up in April, so another couple months at least.
Oh, yeah. I haven't really... I've got to admit, I've had a passing interest in the XFL. Like, it has definitely not been something that I've really sat down to watch. I did catch enough to alert you that former Steelers backup quarterback Landry Jones is Dallas's quarterback.
Yeah, he was also involved in a somewhat historic play we watched a clip of earlier where he completed a double forward pass as per the rules of the XFL, where you're allowed to throw two forward passes as long as the first one doesn't go past the line of scrimmage. And when it got batted back to him, he was very adroit in knowing the rules, apparently, and whipped off another pass down the field.
Yeah, and I was kind of laughing. The one article that you had linked us to from Slate.com had said that this was one of the gimmicky rules of the XFL, was the batted pass rule. But I've got to admit, like, every time I saw a defensive lineman bat a pass back to a quarterback, I'm like, just throw it. Like, I have always thought, just throw it. Like, obviously, I knew that you weren't allowed to, but, like, to me, it never made sense that you weren't allowed to throw it. Like, if you kick and it doesn't go beyond the line of scrimmage, you can re-kick. That's why a lot of teams kick on a third down. Like, if something goes wrong, they can always kick a, you know, they have another down to kick.
I don't know.
Although I don't think they're doing that as much anymore, but.
Yeah. It's, I like the rule, and I guess technically you could, like, throw, like, a, you know, an out pass or that goes forward and then have them actually complete another pass. Although I don't think that's been tried yet. But I haven't been watching, honestly, really. I've mostly been catching clips and things like that online, which it seems like the XFL, they're doing a pretty good job of, you know, engaging with social media and putting out video clips of, like, kind of highlights and things like that. So that, I think that's been kind of helping gain some interest.
Yeah, and they did, I think the article mentioned something that, you know, they're not trying to brand themselves as taking over for the NFL or anything like that. Like, it's very much a, hey, we know we're a minor league. And at least from what little play I have seen, it does look better than some of the former leagues that I've watched. Again, to disagree with the article a little bit, like, I didn't think the first incarnation of the XFL was that bad. And I mean, there's still a lot of the camera angles and some other stuff that the NFL uses came from the original XFL. Like, true. I will say that until I'm dead because it's true.
It's it has the quality of the play. It doesn't seem too terrible to me, really. That has been nice. Like, some of the extra rules are nice. I think they've done a pretty good job of, like, also changing the way it kind of looks with, like, having sideline reporters, like, interviewing players during the game. Or, you know, showing the replay official and their kind of talking out loud as they're reviewing the play. Which I think they also have, like, a special announcer who is just there to explain replays. So that seems a little bit overkill, maybe, but like, I haven't been really watching to see how they're handling a lot of that.
Yeah, I could see how since I've disagreed with the article a couple of times, I've also agreed a couple of times. I could see how sideline interviews would get to be a little too much if you did them too frequently. Like, in the way the article described them, they were doing them, like, almost in between every play. Which, I'd be like, okay, yeah, like, you're just overloading me now. Like, because I don't really watch, like, it would be cool to get a little more insight into that stuff, but I don't need that much insight. Like, I still more would like to just sit back and enjoy the product, rather than enjoying the entrails of the product.
Yeah, I guess this is kind of like, maybe they're trying to target, like, a hardcore, quote-unquote, football fan who's, like, really wants to get in, you know? And they're, like, airing, like, the coaches' calls and things, too. So, like, you hear, like, their play calling.
Right.
I think it's good to kind of differentiate from the NFL too, like, give people a reason to watch. You know that the play is probably not going to be quite at the NFL level.
Right.
So, like, give people another reason to check it out, you know, something different. And that's pretty smart.
And that was another one, another rule that you showed me that I, you know, after seeing it happen, I kind of like it, the kickoff rule, with the kicker being kind of back at where you would say a traditional place for an NFL kicker to be. But he's by himself, and both teams are lined up 10 yards apart from each other, and neither team's allowed to move until after the receiver catches the ball.
Right.
And honestly, it did, like, the one that you showed me was there, was returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, that was a cool play.
And yeah, it really did make for you to be able to set up a play more than just a straight return. Like, I guess in the NFL, like, though you could lateral the ball, I almost never expect it to happen.
Yeah, I guess, like, the Music City Miracle was kind of a famous example of it happening. But you're right, it's more the exception than the rule.
Yeah, and I feel like there have been other times where people have done, like, some type of maybe an end around, or just, like, a hook and... Well, yeah, just like a hook, basically, to do a little bit of misdirection with two players. But in this situation, because you have everyone lined up within a kind of certain area, I think it's a little bit easier to, you know, coordinate blocking and who might be coming on. And in this case, it was an end around type of situation.
They do it to try to prevent injuries, I'm pretty sure, because having people like running full speed into people is maybe not the smartest thing for like longevity of the human body.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that is good about it is that it addresses, because the NFL has addressed it in a basically like just kick it out of bounds.
Yeah.
Cause I mean like kickoffs are, although some teams have started to try to intentionally kick it to the one to try and force a return in some situations. I feel like the Steelers did that a lot, honestly, or at least it kind of depended upon how good their returner was that they set that up some. But this situation really kind of does away with just even the possibility, because it still happens on punt returns, and I don't know if punts are the same way in the XFL or not. I do not remember seeing any video footage thereof.
I'm not sure if they... I think they must do the regular punts there. But it's not maybe quite as bad since you're like both teams are kind of starting at the same spot. Like it's not like they're kind of running from across the field.
Yeah, I guess the kickoff really was that only true situation. I guess the defense and the offense, you generally get a pass rush to the punt and then a peel off. And people are kind of blocking on the backside then.
And in a typical kickoff, you're supposed to kind of stay in your lane, you know, and kind of so your team is covering the whole field. But, you know, they're doing basically the same thing and just kind of eliminating the running at each other.
Yeah, and you really could try to do, at least offensively, like I guess I'm thinking about the kick return now, like you could do some type of like stunting motion to try and create lanes for your kick returners. Like not even just necessarily like the reverse type, your end around type move that we saw that led to the touchdown. Like I do think that again, kind of having everyone lined up, like you could probably coordinate things a little bit better because there's just an element which is probably good and entertaining of chaos that comes with 10 guys, you know, like you said, trying to stay in their lane. Maybe they don't stay in their lane perfectly. Like, there's a little less chaos that way. This way does kind of make it a little more, again, like a set offensive play, which it definitely is a cool differentiator in my books.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, like, the general play seems to be fairly similar. And I do think the other thing that's kind of interesting is now the NFL has done a good job, in my opinion, when they move the extra point back, there's definitely been more missed extra points in that time period.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, another difference with the XFL having any kind of extra point kickoff at all. After a touchdown, they allow you to go for 1, 2, or 3 points, depending on where you line up at the ball. I think the 2-yard line, you get 1 point.
Correct.
The 5-yard line maybe is 2 points.
Yep.
And then the
10-yard
line for 3 points, which they were saying that people are converting the 2-point conversion more than the 1-point conversion. So it seems pretty obvious that you should probably go for the 2 there at least.
Yeah. And I guess I'm not surprised. It gives you a little more room to work with. To me, like, because it gives the wide receivers a little bit more room to play around. Like, because that always does seem like a problem. If you don't, even in the NFL, like, even nowadays, if you don't have a good, if you don't have at least a few yards to work with, sometimes it's hard if you don't have, like, a taller receiver to just go up and get the ball. Like, the Steelers never, at least recently, as good as their offense was, they kind of struggled in the red zone because they didn't have, like, an old Plaxico Burress, some guy that could, you could just throw a jump ball to and say, hey, go fetch. Because, you know, as great as Antonio Brown was, he's just not, he's vertically challenged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think Juju might be the closest thing to a Plaxico Burress type, although they play way different. But I mean, at least size wise, he's closer.
Right.
So yeah, I think that I think that the 2-point one might be a little bit easier to get your wide receivers open if you don't have a tall, you know, receiver that you can go to. And what else is I gonna say? Oh, well, and it's still close enough that you could run it in. Like, if people are paying too much attention to the receivers, like, I feel like either A, a running quarterback, or B, if you have a good running back, that you could probably punch it in from the 5-yard line pretty easily.
I feel like it's weirdly hard to score a touchdown when you get too close to the end zone. You know, you have less room. There's less room for the defenders to defend. Like, they only have, like, the end zone, really.
Right.
So it's easier for them in a way.
Yeah, as long as you don't get blown off the ball as a defense in the goal or in the end zone area, like, especially, like, that inner 5 yards, like, if you don't get blown off the ball, you could probably stop most things.
It does happen, you know, just... It's not unusual for a team to, like, try to run it in, like, you know, 3 or 4 times and just get stuffed, you know, down at the goal line.
Oh, right. Because it's just, yeah, that is one of those times where, like, it's just kind of obvious that it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And
you just got to be there and stop it from happening.
Yeah, and the funny thing that I've always found about that situation, too, is that for some reason, like, the play fake works best on the first down as opposed to second or third down, where you're better off just running it even if you don't get in again. Like, it's just like, why wouldn't I guess I'm always surprised the play fake doesn't work more frequently. But maybe it's just because, like, oh, they tried to run on first down, now they're gonna go for the play fake, and people seem to catch on to that for some reason or another.
Oh yeah,
you know, like, if you change up your option, yeah, it doesn't always help. Like, if you do it first off the bat, it seems to work better than, like, oh, we ran it this time, let's try the play fake this time. And it doesn't seem to work. So, yeah, I think I'm not surprised that going for two is the way it is, probably a little bit better conversion-wise for these XFL teams.
Yeah, I wonder if they will eventually kind of go more aggressive and try going for three. I mean, 10, I guess, is a bit tougher, 10 yards.
Yeah, and you're only getting an extra point out of it, too.
That's true. It would probably depend on the situation. Like, if you really needed the extra point to, you know, tie or win a game, maybe you'd think about it.
I guess it's going to be one of those things that it's literally going to need to play out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to see how much that would affect the play.
Like, ratings-wise, you know, they're not pulling down NFL numbers, I would say.
Because the only thing pulling down NFL numbers is the NFL.
Exactly. But compared to other, you know, sports leagues, I think they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, they said they're getting 2 million viewers, or that Fox is, mm-hmm, and they're just hanging around that. Which, yeah, like, at least my one buddy who's an economist mentioned that almost anyone, you know, any situation like the XFL, they're going to lose viewers. Like, there's always going to be a curiosity factor to start out. So, like, your first week ratings are always going to be very high. And that you only need to, like, retain, like, 50%, 60% to... Yeah, I was thinking it's around 60% of the original audience. And you're doing okay. And they're kind of hovering in that zone of keeping about 60% of the initial audience.
Yeah, the audience has been going down week to week, and like you said, part of that's to be expected. It's not quite as precipitous a fall off as the previous version of the XFL, which did bill itself as the new NFL, as I recall.
Yeah,
and they were going to basically come in and take over the world. So yeah, I think smart to have a more humble kind of branding here. Basically, they're saying, hey, you know, you like football, just come on, we'll watch this football.
Yeah, and that's kind of the funny thing is that, well, and they did say in the same article that live attendance is up.
That was also an interesting thing. And it did look like the people who were at the games were having fun. I think the St. Louis fans were probably maybe had something to prove in a way. Since they lost their team.
Yeah, that was one that was just killing me. Like,
The Battle Hawks, I believe.
Yeah. And it's just kind of fun. I guess it'd be kind of interesting to see if a team, an XFL team would work in Columbus. Just because there's more of obviously a college football focus here, and that ends before the NFL ends. Like, there's definitely, to me, there's still a little bit, I don't know if I really want to watch football right now.
Interesting. Is it kind of like Christmas music, you know, after January? You just don't want to have that in your life anymore.
Well, yeah, it's kind of starting to feel that way, just because hockey and basketball are the only two things that really overlap almost perfectly. Because I want to say that basketball starts a little bit later in the year as opposed to hockey. But there's also a little more downtime in between games in hockey than there is for basketball. But, like, yeah, baseball season and, like, yeah, there's a little bit of overlap with football, but there isn't a lot. And, you know, the baseball season starts when hockey and the NBA are in the playoffs. So I've got to admit, like, I don't pay as much attention to baseball during those months. And then I kind of get into baseball after that. And then football pops on. And probably usually the Pirates are terrible by then. So I can tune out and just watch the Steelers.
Yeah. It does seem like this is a bit of a lull in sports here. So in that way, it's probably not a bad time to try to come in there with a new league.
Yeah. And I mean, it has been a traditional dead zone, I feel like, because the NBA All-Star Game and the NHL All-Star Game are usually around the same time, and then you don't have, there's no football on at that time, like, you actually don't have any sports on for, like, a day or two.
Wow.
But even then, like, there's so much, yeah, I mean, I think that might be another reason why the XFL is going to work, honestly, is that there's just more stuff now. And, like, people that maybe I want to take a break from football. Obviously, there are some people, especially in St. Louis, that don't want to take a break. Like, they're kind of pumped about it. And I guess that's why I was wondering why maybe Columbus would be good for an XFL franchise, because there is more college fans here. It's definitely quality of play even though I didn't really have a problem with it, it's still probably going to be closer to college than it is the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it might be a level of play that's more acceptable here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Ohio State would let them play on their field. That would be an interesting negotiation. But, I mean, hell, what else are they going to do with the nothing? There isn't that much stuff that happens at the Horseshoe. Like, I know that they've had some concerts. They've had some soccer matches.
Well, I was maybe thinking they could play in the new soccer stadium if they ever get that built.
Yeah, it's moving along.
Well,
New Crew Stadium is moving along. I don't know if it has an official name or sponsor yet.
Yeah, if
maybe it'll be Flying J Stadium.
I feel like if they...
I think he owns Flying J.
If they put them in the... Oh, that's interesting. If they put them in, like, a big stadium like the Horseshoe, it's probably not as great a feeling as if they could put them in, like, a smaller stadium like the... I presume the Crew Stadium will not be as big as the Horseshoe.
No.
So, yeah, that would be...
quite a bit smaller.
I think that would be a better feeling, you know.
Yeah.
Atmosphere, if you will.
Yeah, I think that would run into the scheduling problems, though.
Yeah.
Because I am going this weekend to the Crew...
Or maybe the old Crew Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, the old Crew Stadium would probably actually work better, just because, yeah, the Crew is starting on Sunday, so there are games to be had pretty early on. Like, I mean, it's going to cross, although, and I guess, well, both of them only play once a week. Well, I shouldn't say once a week, because soccer does sometimes play 2 to 3 times a week, depending upon how the schedule falls and whether they're in additional leagues and things of that nature. But usually twice per week is probably a maximum.
I also like that they have Saturday and Sunday games in the XFL. I think that's kind of a nice choice for people who are kind of, you know, maybe you don't have, you know, you have more options to kind of catch a game or see what's going on there.
Oh,
so
yeah. And just because we were out Saturday was why I was catching it.
Yeah.
And they just had, you know, they just had it on. It's just like, okay, sure. Like, I'm not going to tell you to take it off the TV.
So your aversion to football in February was not so strong that you were going to, you know, demand to change the channel.
Yeah, I was going to demand that they put on spring training games from the Cleveland Indians.
God damn it. What do you think this is? I want to see spring training. All right. Well, yeah. XFL, it's better than spring training.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that is the other thing. Like, well, I know that we've been, the wife and I have been sucked into the wife's dad is a big Dayton Flyers fan, and they are currently ranked number 4 in college basketball. So he has been all in on that. And I mean, like, he was starting to be a big fan probably, like, it's kind of started to occur since I started dating her, like, within that time frame.
Okay.
Like, because I don't remember him being that big of a fan, but the last, like, 4 or 5 years, he's gone to, like, almost every home game.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
So he's really kind of been invested for a while now, and he's pretty pumped about the goings on down there currently. So, yeah. Sports-centric show, Ken.
For sure, man. We went the whole time about sports there.
Yeah, and we could wrap it up. Since I did watch the XFL when I was at Zaftig Brewing Company, which is where I got your birthday presents.
Oh, yeah.
And you were generous enough to let me consume one of those. I will admit, I do not feel like I've had the Hazy Miss Daisy New England style IPA in a little bit. I knew that I liked it, so I knew that I knew what I was in for. And yeah, it's a very good New England style IPA.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this Juicy Lucy IPA from Zafty. It's I would say a traditional IPA, but hey, it's always good there. Always good, but yeah, this one is good.
Yeah, and I guess I was trying to pull up what else I had because they were having a Mardi Gras themed party this past Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I'm trying to flip to which. Hurricane Hazy. So I guess I did have a form of the Hazy Miss Daisy that had passion fruit and lemon in it.
All right, sort of like a hurricane drink there.
Yeah,
I get it.
So that's what they were going for that one. I did find that pretty tasty. It always helps to start with a good base beer. Never a bad thing in that situation.
Yeah.
Start with a good beer and then throw extra flavoring agents in it.
Yeah, you start with a bad beer, it's kind of hard to improve it just by throwing in a little flavoring.
Yeah. And yeah, the Zaftig Pineapple Pale Ale. I did not think that was quite as good as the Hurricane Hazy, but it was still pretty solid. You know.
Yeah, I'm not complaining over here.
And yeah, you'll have to report back on the other ones. I believe I gave you the case study of the Wee Heavy bourbon barrel and non-bourbon barrel OG version. I believe the OG version was the first beer I had from them.
Okay.
I'm not mistaken.
I know my lovely bride is a fan of the bourbon barrel type beers, so I think we're going to enjoy that one with her. So that'll be something to look forward to there.
Okie dokie. Well, that will do things for this week. I'm at Frag11. That's at Gozer33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
We'll see you.